Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Good morning. It is the fourth day of May, and if you are a big Star Wars fan, you may know that it's May the 4th be with
May
you.
The 4th yes, be with you. Yes,
be with you. So there you go. This is that day to tell all your friends. You know, it's like that movie came out 76 or 77, so it's been around. So a lot of our audience,
I still remember vividly the first time I saw Star Wars.
Oh,
you know, and we went to the theater. And we didn't have the special effects way back then.
No.
And those stars that were, you were traveling through the universe and the stars were going past
back
you
and
stuff.
Forth.
And we all just sat there going, ooh.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh. It was amazing.
First time ever that they did anything like this. Yes. It was just so new for us.
It really was. And yeah. I think I saw it like three times the first year it was out. I mean, it was just fabulous.
Yes, absolutely. Now, have you seen it lately?
No.
Okay, because I tried watching it with my husband.
I tried talking my daughter, my 12-year-old, to watching it with me.
Uh-huh.
And she's not interested.
No. Yeah, and, well, you know, the special effects are so different now that I'll be reading a book while I'm watching with my husband. Just because it is, back then it was, so new and leading edge. And now it's like, we've come so far. But still, it's one of those that... you probably got somebody in your family who's a big Star Wars fan. So May the 4th be with you.
Today.
Yes,
all
be
right.
with you. So here we are, Leading
Cinco
Edge.
De Mayo tomorrow.
Yes,
that's right.
The Force has to be with us today.
That's
so
right.
So we can be up for Cinco de Mayo tomorrow.
Yes, yes. I was already trying to think of, okay, where should we go? What should we do? What should I make? So I like to jump into those. You know, it's kind of fun to do that. So
yes.
Cinco de Mayo. And Dr. Mixon here in the studio. Dr. Umat, welcome back. You had a week off. We missed you last week.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
It was a busy week.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. She was off learning to be a national speaker.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. I think she will do wonderfully with that. Yes. That's good.
Thank
Very
you.
Good. All right. Well, both doctors in the studio, you know what? I should give that phone number right off the bat because we've been getting people calling in earlier. They're now realizing, if I wait too long, I may not get my question answered.
Right, or you may get 30 seconds at the end
yes.
of the show.
Yes. So let's, before we go into medical updates and talk about top of mind things in leading edge medicine, here are the phone numbers to get through. 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Your questions for Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, soon to be national speaker, today on Leading Edge Medicine. So 800-465-8770. Go ahead and call now and get yourself in the queue for the questions. All right, doctors, what is top of mind this week? Here we are, first week of May.
Well, top of mind is your mind.
Yes, which is an important thing.
Which is an important thing. I've alluded in the previous weeks about the fact that I do have a cognitive supplement coming out designed for adults. But then shortly thereafter, we'll bring another one out for small children.
Mm.
And then another one for pregnant women.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah.
And so let me kind of run through this as just for fun. Did you know that when your baby is born, its brain is about 1/4 the size of an adult's? Okay.
Wow.
But it has every bit as many neurons as the adult. It's got as many neurons as you'll ever have in life that developed in utero before birth. So the brain is smaller, but it's densely packed, and it's just with neurons. All the glial and supportive structures and the neuronal connections that will develop later in life are not there yet. And so all you've got is these packed little brain nerve cells. And that has to do in part with your genetics. Obviously, very, very bright people tend to have bright babies. You know, folks of more limited intelligence, who, if they marry other people of limited intelligence, tend to have babies of limited intelligence. Although that, you notice I said tend to.
Right.
Once in a while, people that are pretty darn average come up and produce a genius.
I know. I've always hit my head going, how did that happen?
And unfortunately, you know, two quasi-geniuses will get together and produce a child of somewhat limited capacity.
Yes, and they're so, like, just wondering, what do I do?
Yeah, that's right. You know, I mean, here we are both, you know, brilliant folks, and our kid ain't gonna adjust a whole lot in intellectual life. And so, you know, it happens. But when you look at general trends, generally, people whose genome call for high intelligence tend to produce brighter kids than other folks. But it also depends on that prenatal environment.
Yeah.
And here's an interesting fact. The bulk of those neurons in that kid's head are basically made out of DHA. You know, this is omega-3 fatty acids.
Right.
There's EPA and DHA. And the DHA is what actually makes up the bulk of the brain. Now, if you supplement a pregnant woman with extra omega-3 fatty acids, just give her extra fish oil or krill oil or whatever form of of DHA you want, her kid's brain will not be any bigger at birth. But by good preschool years, by 3 and 4, the kid will be functioning better than kids whose moms were not supplemented with omega-3s. And by the time they hit kindergarten, on balance, the children whose mothers got extra DHA while the kid's brain was forming will do significantly better than the kids whose moms did not get extra omega-3s during pregnancy. So that's really, you know, so brain size, structure, when they're first born, we can't tell a difference, but we do see a difference by the time they start kindergarten.
Nice.
Which is really kind
that
of
that is good.
Yeah.
Very encouraging.
So, you know, if you've got children or grandchildren that are getting pregnant and developing babies these days, you make sure that they get supplemented with a good quality fish oil during the pregnancy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Guys, you won't see it immediately, but you will see it by the time the kid starts kindergarten. So let's give them the best shot we can. That kid's brain at birth is about 1/4 its adult size. By the time they're 5 years old, it'll be 90% of its adult size. It's going to more than triple in size between birth and age 5. So that little brain is going to be connecting like mad. A new kid's brain is making more than 1 million neuronal connections per second. Per second. Every second of every day. That little baby is making over 1 million new neuronal connections, which means, you know, by the time they get adult size, they have hundreds of billions of connections.
Right.
Yeah. Which is why we outdo computers.
Okay. Yes.
In so many ways. So we end up with this vast number of connections. Well, it turns out we can actually improve the connections that kids make. There are supplements that we can give kids in a gummy form. They take one little gummy a day with lutein zeaxanthine. And these kids, by the time they start kindergarten, will be significantly smarter than kids that don't get the extra supplementation. Now, these are two things that are normally found in lots and lots of brightly colored fruits and vegetables. But most children do not love fruits and vegetables.
Ew,
and they're not
yucky.
Chowing down on squash and kale and spinach and yada, yada.
Yeah.
And most parents, you know, aren't pushing it. So they put them on cereal and a little, this, a little of that.
Yeah, chicken nuggets.
But it, so, you know, if they're going to eat the typical childhood diet, then you want to give them the extra lutein, zeaxanthin, and you will have a brighter kid by kindergarten.
Wow.
Neat.
I'm ready to try it.
Yeah. No, actually, so we're going to come out with one designed for kids.
Okay.
Know, what parent or grandparent
is
going to spend about $18 a month?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, to get their kid a brighter by the time they hit kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And then that process continues, and you have to then raise the dose a bit. But from age 7 to about 12, you can raise every single component by giving these kids then a little higher dose of zeaxanthin and lutein. Then by the time they are early adults, the brain doesn't actually fit maturity until you're in 25 to 30. And so they're smart, they're fast, but they have poor judgment in their adolescent and teen years.
Mm.
In that time, you're actually pruning extra neurons.
Mm.
And you end up by adult with about 40% fewer neuronal connections than you had in your youth by at 12. Isn't that kind of fascinating? We actually lose about 40% of those connections.
Wow. Yeah. So there's a reason why that teen brain. I mean, so you know, give them a little
grace. They're actually losing connections.
Okay.
Yeah.
As they're trying to develop their adult ability. So what we can do then is we can give them things to help enhance those connections through their adolescent years. By the time we're 30, we're actually slowing our brain down.
For sure.
And by 40, we have measurably lost executive functions, verbal learning, when people tell you things, you learn new stuff. You have to read it. You can't just hear it anymore. That's why you need good reading skills. But again, we have a different set of supplements that can actually help people from 40 through 90 to maintain their best cognitive function. So I've actually got four different things I want to use.
Okay.
For the pregnant ladies, something for the early childhood, something for the adolescents, and something for the grown-ups.
Very cool.
Okay. Isn't that kind of
is cool.
Yes.
Then you want to say, okay, how do we prove that it worked or not?
Yes.
Aha.
Ah.
Because people are afraid to take a cognitive test. Who might find out? Will I be embarrassed? What if I don't do as well as I think I would do?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So there is a group in Boston that had come up actually in 2022. They developed this, and it has since been validated multiple times. So we now know it's a good test that is free, that you can actually download to your smartphone, take your own cognitive test in 10 minutes. And this is designed to track you over time. So they recommend that you take it like every Sunday at 10 o'clock. So it's the same time of the week, the same time of the day when you're equally rested, yada, yada. So you pick the time that you want to do your testing. And then you do your test every week or so. And you can actually track over time how your brain is doing in a variety of cognitive functions. And if you're starting to go downhill, you will be able to see it. No one else sees it. You do, though. You get your report. It's all computerized. No human being sees this at all but you. And then if you see that you're not doing as well as you should, you can come to Longevity and say, hey,
I've noticed.
Can you help us?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
And this, and so all of you out there that want to download this free program to check on it, it's called the Boston Cognitive Assessment. Okay, and so I downloaded mine from the Apple App Store. I presume the Androids also have a version, but I know for sure the Apples do because I've downloaded my own. So the Boston Cognitive Assessment, it comes right down to your phone. It's free, and you can track your cognition over time.
Very good.
Boy, that's very exciting information, Jerry.
Yes.
Yeah, that
it really is.
Really, really neat.
Wow, the smartphone is getting smarter with things like this. Now,
it's Dr. Mixon sharing information.
Yes, that's true. Now, here's a question, Dr. Mixon. We're going to take our break here in just 1 minute, and then we've got our first caller waiting to go. But will the cognition be me specific? So if I see Dr. Umatz or yours, and then I get mine, which is, going to be different. No comparison, right? Because
you're you.
I'm you. I'm me, and it's going to show my cognition.
Yeah. And the test to prevent people from just learning from taking the test over and over.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's a non-repeating. It has almost infinite number of tests. So every time you take it, it'll be different.
Okay.
And so you'll never take exactly the same test twice.
Mm. Oh,
there's
cool.
thousands and thousands of variants on this test.
Right, because with the mini mental status exam, it's the same test.
It's the same test, and you take it. Yeah. You know, it's got 30 questions or the same 30 questions.
Oh,
by the time you've taken that same 30 questions 10 times, the answer.
Yes,
come
absolutely. Like the trivia question. At Olive Garden, I always amaze my husband. He goes, "How do you know all this?" I'm like, "We take it every time we're there, sitting there. I know a calico cat is always female." Okay, this is good to know. The Boston Cognitive Assessment.
Yes.
You can look for that online. Get that on your phone.
Go to your app store. It's absolutely free. It's private, and it's not designed to be taken once.
Okay.
Because everybody has good days, bad days, so-so days.
Sure.
So you're designed to take it periodically over and over and over and over, so you get a trend over time.
Yes.
Right. I mean, psychologists have struggled with this, right? How do they account for bad days versus
good days
when they do their evaluations?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, we will be back. Leading Edge Medicine continues with your questions. Here's that phone number to get into the queue, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. We'll be back in a moment. Good morning. It's Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, and I am here with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. We are always live in your studio, ready to take your questions about your health, your aging concerns, symptoms, things that you are dealing with or noticing are a little bit different than they used to be, maybe a new diagnosis for you. If you've got questions, today is a day to call in. Here is that number, 800-465-8770. We'd like to tell you how longevity can help you with whatever you're going through. We have Paul on the line. Paul, you ready to be caller number one today? Good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. I got a call the other day from one of my brothers I got three older brothers, and I'm the youngest. Mm-hmm. And he had been to the urologist, and he called me up to talk about BPH and treatments. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like he's probably leaning towards the aqua ablation. And I told him, well, you know, there's this BioSure device that they have at Longevity Medical Clinic, and they have tried it out on some BPH, and I thought I would just call and see how that's coming along.
Okay. Well, it's kind of interesting because we just got a report a couple of weeks ago from Dr. Pentland, who does most of those studies for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that it's working better for BPH, associated urination, than it does even for the erectile dysfunction. Yeah, so focusing all that energy into the prostate itself appears to be giving men the ability to urinate more efficiently. Now, is it actually going to shrink the prostate over time? Who knows? I have no data on that. So, you know, if you got a big prostate that is starting to obstruct,
mm-hmm.
we can at least give most people some relief for a while.
Mm-hmm.
We aren't addressing the underlying things that are causing the prostate to get bigger over time, though. So, but if what you want to is buy some time and not have your surgery yet, then this may well be a viable option for him.
Yeah. I mean, when patients come in, they're asked to fill out a questionnaire. So we're basically scoring them before the treatment, and then they fill out the same questionnaire again after the treatment. So we use that objective measure, the scoring system, to tell us whether they're really better or not. So this is not hearsay. Okay. So they actually give the numbers. Yeah. And by numbers, numerically, they're doing much better with BPH treatment.
Right. So, you know, it's a... It is at least a intervention that can buy time for a lot of guys.
Yeah. Okay. What is what's the cost associated with that?
Yeah, because doctors, this is actually available to anyone, not just our longevity patients. Yeah,
we do this for, for lots of guys.
This is
I don't even know. Samara, you're closer to that. Do you have any idea what the cost is?
I actually don't, Jerry. I'm so sorry.
You
should know this.
Yeah, you've never done this before.
I just called it off.
Yeah, they would know.
And the process is really simple. You just meet with Dr. Pentland, and then he will discuss the issues, look at the questionnaire, and then if you are a candidate, then he can provide the treatment on the same visit. You don't have to kind of come back later on, and then he can kind of go through, what do you need, 3 treatments or 6 treatments? And I think the cost will depend, obviously, on how many treatments.
Yeah.
Okay. I am a clinic patient, and Dr. Pentland is my...
Good. Yeah, so, well, you have an in with him then.
Yes.
Give him a call.
Yeah.
I mean, this is...
Well,
this is
I had the resume procedure a couple of years ago, and the doc at that time said, you know, there's a good possibility within 10 years you might need another one, you know? And I thought, well, maybe the BioSure might be enough, you know?
But it might. And, you know, there's... I'm a 76-year-old guy. You know, my urine is slowing down over the years. So I've been tempted to go in and have Dr. Pentland do me, too. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. But, of course, since I own the joint, my fee will be zip. So
there you go.
Well, you pay for the machine, so okay. You are paying for it.
I pay for the machine, and I pay Dr. Pentland's salary. So
yes, you do. You better get. You better be able to go in there.
So, but, yeah, it's... Cool. Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, I try to take advantage of everything I can to make my life better, and that is one of those things. So.
And this is a painless treatment, right? That's one of the advantages.
It doesn't hurt. Nobody's sticking you with needles or anything. You know, so.
Yeah, there's no downtime.
So is it reducing the size of the prostate, or is it more or less affecting the tissues in the bladder?
Well, not in the bladder, but in the prostate itself. Yeah, it actually affects the structural tissues and helps to decrease the inflammation and the swelling. And so, you know, it gets marginally smaller.
It does reduce the pressure that might be being put on the bladder.
Yeah, on the bladder neck, on the urethra.
Yeah, the bladder neck, Okay, well, great.
Okay.
I'll have I have a scheduled video appointment with Dr. Pentland here coming up real soon, so I'll talk to him a little bit about that.
Sounds good.
So, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. And good luck to you, sir.
Yeah, and thank you for calling, Paul.
You know, Samara, you and I ought to someday find out what these things cost. I do the science. Yeah. You do the administration.
Yeah. Well, she won't be needing one of these at all. She may not need.
I used to know what the Viasure for ED was, you know, the pricing. And then I think BPH is reasonably similar, but I just haven't paid attention.
We have busy lives.
Well, I'll find out, though.
Well, we have another call we're going to take after our next break. But one of the other things that we've been paying attention to here at Longevity, because now we're into the month of May, is Heart Health Month. And something we've been talking about the last few weeks is our Heart Health Day. And that's actually coming up. It's Thursday, May 9th.
That's right. The teams are preparing. You know, they have, we saw Dan upstairs yesterday. with all these boxes. I was like, what are you doing? And he's preparing the kits.
Ah.
So he's getting ready for Thursday, preparing the kit. So when the phlebotomists do the blood draw, everything is all ready and so that we can have a good turnout. We are busy. The days are filling up. In fact, I think Thursday is full. So they are offering some people Wednesday now in Kirkland.
Okay.
And the other clinics may be using other days. But we will still honor the same price. We'll do the same things that we're offering because I think it's of so much value. The interesting thing is, you know how I've been complaining that the 1 hour is not enough in our reviews. So our patients who are hearing us talk about this, they're actually now saying, hey, I heard you talking about that. I want to do it now. So it's a matter of just giving the information. I think information is valuable, and then you can be you can then take steps to take care of yourself. Without that information, the literally, I've been saying this now, the traditional lipid profile has become archaic. That new information could be life-saving, and it's not out of the reach. You know, it is within our reach for us to get that test done, to get you the information so that you can save your life.
But what information? We've been talking, but you're kind of assuming people know what the test is.
So let's talk about that.
I've said it so many times, I think I feel repeating myself, but it's the Cleveland Heart Lab, which is the lab for excellence in heart health. And what they do is, instead of just telling you your total cholesterol, triglycerides, LDL, and HDL levels, they actually fractionate the LDL particles, the total number of particles, and the sizes of the particles. That in itself is important because an LDL value of 130 is high, but that high could mean different things depending upon the size of the particles.
So you're breaking that down into at least three different groups of LDL and three different groups of HDL.
And some VLDL of which, particles.
Some of which are worse or better than others, and so it gives you a much more precise detail.
Right.
And then what about the
inflammation markers in that that tell us whether, if there is a plaque sitting in the lining of the vessel, is it about to rupture or not? Is it a stable plaque? You know, in the calcium score, the radiology study, we measure stable plaque that's calcified. This tells us about plaque that is being built up right now and whether it's going to break and rupture and then go block a blood vessel or not. So if those markers are inflamed, then you need treatment urgently. And then the last few things are the apolipoproteins. So cholesterol cannot mix in blood, right? Cholesterol is fat. So it has to be carried in protein molecules. And those lipoprotein molecules that shuttle the cholesterol around, they indicate congestion. So if the liver is getting congestion, those carrier molecules are rising. And remember, this is a continuum. It's not that suddenly you have heart disease. So as you start seeing markers in that journey, you know you're heading towards trouble and you can take steps to reverse that. And that's better than treating a problem once you have it.
So basically, this is a test that is far, far more precise and far more predictive than the traditional cholesterol testing.
That's right. And then lipoprotein particle A is a genetic trait. It runs in families. And then the final thing, which is actually customized to Longevity Medical Clinic, is the Omega check. They do not offer that as part of this panel, but for us, they have, because we asked for it. And that tells you the relationship between the anti-inflammatory omega-3 and the pro-inflammatory omega-6s.
So this is a test that normally you'd only get from a first-rate cardiologist, but you're going to get it now. It's about $300, Longevity Medical Clinic, and you don't have to be a patient to get it. Just call.
Give us a call and make an appointment.
Get on the appointment, and we'll get it for you.
Very good. And we are doing this at all three of the longevity clinics in Tacoma, Linwood, and Kirkland. But call and get that appointment today and they'll fit you in, all right? Here's that number, 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. Stay right there. Welcome back It's Leading Edge Medicine on a Saturday morning with you, three of us in the studio today. My name is Lynette Morgan, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. We are live. We have our computers here looking up information for you and getting some details. If you've got a question for the doctors, give us a call. Get right in that queue right now, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. All right, we are headed to Vancouver, Washington. Paul has a question for the doctors. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Paul.
It's John. I hope so.
Oh, John. Yes, I'm sorry about that.
Hi,
yes,
John.
Yes, hi, John.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. I'll answer to anything. My wife used to tell me that.
More coffee, please.
Last week, Dr. Mixon wanted me to call early this morning about the and ask where to get the results of that 30-year Swedish test that showed that kids that had had that government-sponsored transsexual operation would commit suicide more often than kids that didn't.
Oh, yes, we did discuss that, yeah.
Yep.
They were following them for 30 years.
Yeah, and it's the only the only valid 30-year study that I've ever seen. And I have to admit, I did not remember to go back and look it up, but I will be doing it during the next call or two. So when you just keep listening to the show, I'm going to have Dr. Umat kind of take over while I delve into my files. My problem is I've got about 2,000 or 3,000 studies piled up here somewhere, and I didn't always file them in a way that made it easy for me to find them again. But I will look really hard here, okay?
That's very kind of you. Very kind of you. I appreciate that. Another quick question is, I asked my doctor to give me a calcium score test, and she said, well, we already have your calcium. We did that on a panel, and your calcium's okay. Is that the same thing as a
She's looking at the calcium in your blood.
That's the comprehensive metabolic panel that just tells us about, you know, kidney function, electrolytes, and serum calcium level. Right. No, the calcium score is completely different. It's actually a radiology study. We send you to an imaging clinic, and they look at calcified plaque in the blood vessels of the heart. And that is stable plaque, but it tells us if the heart is getting adequate blood flow or if that blood flow is being blocked. And if it is being blocked, then you go to cardiologist, and then they do studies, and then they can stent or whatever they could. I've had patients that have gone immediately from seeing the results to cardiology and straight into a stent room to get the procedure done. So it can be a life-saving procedure.
So what doctor do I go to get that done? A radiologist?
Your radiologist. So our patients go to...
Usually you have a cardiologist who would order the test.
Well, primary care doctors can do it too.
Right, but I see. My point is he doesn't go to a radiologist. He has his doctor order it.
He can pay out of insurance and he can go to radiology if he has high cholesterol and they can do the study for him. It's $100
study. The cardiologist would be the key then.
He'd be the
your primary care doctor. Any
order
doctor.
Yeah, he orders it and sends you to radiology, and the radiologists actually do the study.
Got it. Okay, thanks a lot. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your military service, doctor. Have a great day.
You're welcome, sir.
Good luck, sir. Right. Good luck. I hope you get the study done. It's really very valuable. It only takes 5 minutes once you get into the department. Literally, in the process is, you know, in the waiting room and getting ready for it and then coming out. The procedure itself literally takes 5 minutes and is completely painless. And, you know, for people who just want to know, and if they have a risk factor or two, like high cholesterol or age or family history or high blood pressure, the study can be done without needing insurance coverage. It only costs about $100 or so. And so radiology clinics do them. Our patients go to Bellevue Medical Imaging, and sometimes they bill through insurance and sometimes they just pay out of pocket.
All right. Yeah. Good information. Thank you for that question, John. And the doctor is looking for the other information you asked about. We'll talk about that later in the show. All right. We're headed to Tenino, Washington. Glenn is our next caller. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning. Sitting here with the power out for some reason.
Oh.
But I wanted to call up. I called up about 2 months ago, and Dr. Mixon there told me I had a 5% or less chance of my colon test coming back negative after a positive test. And I'd like to report some good news.
Yes.
I have read and watched every video I could find on YouTube. A friend of mine bought me a book called Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. I took it to heart. I ordered every vitamin and or concentrate of whatever food they had in there. And I bought on my own another book called Eat to Beat Diseases. And I ordered every supplement I could order. And I took them for about a month, and I was retested, and I tested negative.
Wow.
Wow, that is neat. Okay.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
You bet.
You know,
I've been thinking about...
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that if you listen to functional medicine physicians like ours, Dr. Mixon and I, and Longevity Medical Clinics, and many others that do work like us... One of the things is that food is medicine, and we've forgotten that. In our rush to live our lives, we eat way too much processed food, and we eat yep. too many things that make our life convenient. And we've forgotten to pay attention to the grassroots of our health, wellness, and our being. And if we go back to the grassroots and start paying attention to what we put in our mouth, that is actually nourishment. But not only that, it takes care of us. It's our medicine. It helps us remain healthy and well. And so that's exactly what you highlighted. So I'm very happy to hear that.
Well, Socrates said, eat to live, don't live to eat.
Right.
Boy, and how many years was that?
Well, that was a couple of years ago. He was one of those old, I believe, dead white guys, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I ask Dr. Mixon a question? That I watch a lot of YouTube videos, good or bad, but I'm kind of into the MGTOW revolution right now.
Okay.
But, is that the men going their own way?
Exactly.
Yeah, I may have heard of this.
But anyway, I saw a video, and I'd like Dr. Mixon to comment if he knows. One of the women on there said that if a woman performs a Lewinsky, let's say, on her male friend at least once a week, he will live longer. Have you ever heard of something like that?
You may have heard of it, but is it true? That's what
I believe we're wanting to know.
Yeah.
Does it have something to do with prostate cancer or what?
Yes, it actually does. Men who have 5 and more ejaculations per week cut the risk of prostate cancer in half. So we men were designed to have sex fairly frequently. So it doesn't have to be a Lewinsky. Okay, but it should be an ejaculation, whether that's a solo project or with a close friend. So, okay. So yes,
well, that's good.
Yeah, and you know, I have had men that when I told them that the more frequently they have sex, the lower their risk of prostate cancer, they have asked me for a prescription for their wife to convince her. Because that's, you know, that's the limiting factor for most men is the woman in their life. So,
well, that's good to know that there is something to that.
Do you know if, one of the things that's not really highlighted in the two books I just told you about is a kiwi, I believe it is, kiwi, for colon cancer. Apparently it causes the growth of a particular bacteria in your gut that is actually anti-colon cancer. So I'm taking, if my memory serves me correct here, kiwi tastes like crap. I mean, it, and I bought the juice, and the juice tastes like crap. So what I did was I went online and I got kiwi extract.
All right.
Along with all the other aforementioned chemicals or plant derivatives in these two books I told you about. And I was curious, have you ever heard that one by chance?
No, I haven't. I mean, I like kiwi.
Now, Glenn, you are peeling it, right? Yeah, you're not eating it with the skin on.
Yeah, with that kind of hairy, fibrous skin.
Because that would be yucky.
Yeah. Okay. But no, my wife serves kiwi. And she peels it and slices it up into nice thin slices.
We
get it in salad all the time.
Kiwi. I'm mistaken kiwi for something that starts with a P.
Oh, okay.
Oh, papaya, maybe. Papaya, an orange?
I like papaya, too. But no, and here's the problem, okay? I can't tell you what crap tastes like. I've never tasted it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just a matter.
Right. Well, I should have went and got the bottle. I've got one bottle of it, but I quit taking it once I got the supplement.
The problem with the extract is we don't know...
Yeah.
What was extracted? You know, with an extract, you're either using a lipid soluble or an aqueous compound to try to extract the active ingredients from the compound or from the fruit. Some things are soluble in water. Some things are soluble in alcohol and lipids. And so, what did they extract? Okay, the fact that someone did an extract doesn't mean that they actually pulled out the things you're looking for from the original product. So that's always the worrisome thing about extracts.
I can hear the music playing as I thumb through my book here, trying to get to the P.
Yeah, I'm thinking it might be pomegranate, perhaps?
Passion fruit?
Pomegranate. There you go.
Okay, yeah.
Well, pomegranate extract.
Okay. Pomegranate juice, you know, doesn't taste bad at all.
Oh, that's yummy.
So, yeah, you can drink pomegranate, although if you eat pomegranate, including those little seeds, they actually give you an enormous amount of fiber, and so you have pre- and postbiotics being added to your gut.
Yep. Yes. Let's talk more about this on the other side of the break. Okay, Glenn, will you hang on?
Yeah. And then I found the Swedish study, too, so I'm going to give that out when we get back.
Okay, very good. All Leading right. Edge Medicine will continue. Glenn, you hang on the line, and we'll get to more of our calls as well. Here's that number. It's 800-465-8770. We'll be right back. About your achy, breaky heart. We want you to have the healthiest heart ever and healthiest everything ever.
Oh, I see what you did there, Lynette.
Yes, do you see what I did? And it is Heart Month.
She's a pro.
Yeah.
And it is Heart Health Month, and we talk about not just your heart health, but health of your whole body and your brain, too. Longevity Medical Centers here, of course, sponsoring our show, Leading Edge Medicine. And Glenn is on the line. We're talking about the fruits that can help with colon cancer, especially.
Yeah, well, with cancers in general. Mm-hmm. And, you know, many fruits, and especially the deeply pigmented, the deep reds, the deep, deep greens, the oranges, the yellows. These all have polyphenols and still beans in them that are very potent anti-cancer.
That's right.
It's kind of interesting. I commented on this a week or two ago, I think, about the people that make the pomegranate juice, the most popular one on the market called Palm, P-O-M, all caps. You know, they make an unsweetened, just straight pomegranate juice. And their study, they actually did a study that showed that drinking, I think it was 6 ounces of pomegranate juice a day actually lowered the risk of
prostate
cancer. Mm-hmm. And there was some evidence that it slowed the growth of existing prostate cancers, mm-hmm. which I thought was kind of fascinating. The study was legitimate. The data was real, but they got in trouble with the FDA because you're not allowed to say that a food will help any medical disease or condition. It's really bizarre. We have these rigid categories that the politicians and the regulatory committees have come up with. And it kind of runs like this. If you've got a drug that is a compound that has significant risk of side effects, it may help a particular disease, but it also has significant risk of injury or death, then that becomes a prescription drug. That is a drug that you have to have a doctor say, you know, we think that the benefits of taking this outweigh the risks. Mm. And that's what made it a prescription drug. Mm. If you've got a compound or even a drug that started off as a prescription drug, and over time we find that the risks of taking this medication are very, very low, and so you could still get in trouble with it, but you're less likely to, then it can become an over-the-counter medication. It's still a medicine. It still can be sold for human diseases, but you don't need a prescription for it. Mm. Then you come down to supplements. Supplements are things that could be found or extracted from common everyday food groups and so on, and they can help you feel better. They can help your body to function better. They may well, in fact, they frequently do help you with disease conditions, but you can't say so.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You cannot say it. It's one of those things where it's against the law to tell the truth about.
We're seeing that more and more, aren't we?
About a compound that does not require a prescription and has not yet been certified by the FDA. So mm-hmm. this case, you can only tell the truth if the government has approved that truth.
That's scary.
Truth.
But, government.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to talk about its nutritional value either. So if it's a supplement, it's to help your body function better in some way, but not with a disease. Even if it does help the disease, the people selling it can't tell you that.
Yeah.
And then if it's a food, you can talk about taste and nutrition, but you cannot talk about it helping your body to improve in some way.
Wow.
And you certainly can't talk about a food improving your health or decreasing a disease. So what Palm did was they referenced a clinical study that showed that people who used their pomegranate juice had a lower risk of prostate cancer. And if they had a prostate cancer, they did better than those people who didn't take it. And they got in trouble for the FDA, not for telling a lie, but for telling the truth. It's a food, you're not allowed to say that it's going to make your body function better. You're only allowed to talk about taste and nutrition.
Wow.
It's bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, we've got to get the politician
out of the medical
of
field.
Medicine.
Yeah.
They know nothing about medicine. They know nothing about helping people to be healthier, but they're in charge. And they control what can and cannot be said. Mm. It just strikes me that if it's true, you ought to be able to say it. I mean, yes, it should be bad to lie to people, but it should be just fine to tell people the truth.
The truth, yes.
Oh, well.
Oh, wow.
Well, okay. I must have got the unsweetened pomegranate juice because I bought several jars of this stuff. And you remember
like
these old Westerns? Remember these old Westerns where the guy saddles up to the bar and gets a shot of whiskey and he grimaces from one side? That's pretty much how I feel when I drink that, I guess it's unsweetened pomegranate juice.
Yeah. Okay. Well, add a little dollop of honey to it.
There you go.
Just enough so that you
or pretend it's whiskey, I guess. Yeah. Put it in shot glasses.
Well, the reason I learned about that was, I don't believe it was in his book, Eat to Beat Disease, by William W. Lee. He looks like an Oriental guy. But it was in one of his videos he was saying that pomegranates, for whatever reason, encouraged this bacteria to grow in your gut, which is detrimental to colon cancer. And I also, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard numerous places that your stomach intestines basically replace themselves every day and a half to 2 days.
Yeah, about every 30 hours.
It sounds like an incredible turnover. But anyway, that was my hypothesis on beating back my colon cancer, was to blast all these different supplements, especially in this one book, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients by Russell L. Baylock. And that book is, I got it highlighted from cover to cover. And like I say, I ordered every extract or every supplement I could find, and I started and I got to tell you, I went, when my test came back to where I had positive colon cancer, I had real difficulties with loose stool, I guess you could say. And I went from radically loose stool to the opposite in days after. I literally eat about 9 prunes a day right now to keep things moving, you know, in a proper manner.
Well, I've got to tell you, not only are those prunes good for you, here's an interesting tidbit. They actually increase your production of growth hormone.
No kidding.
Yeah. To help you to heal and grow and repair new tissues. So.
Well, irony of irony, I was just watching some video YouTube on how to increase your growth hormone, and the power went out at almost exactly 8 o'clock.
Whoa.
So when my computer reboots after you guys are off the air, I'll have to finish that video.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Take care, my friend.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you for the update.
Yes. I'm so happy to hear this for you. Well done.
Very good. Yeah. And I'm glad we figured out which one of those fruits he was talking about.
Yeah, pomegranate.
Yes, that's
there
right.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right. We have just a few minutes before we take our break. Let me give you the phone number, and then we have that information for you, John, that you were asking for from the doctor. Here's the number to get through with your questions. Phone lines are wide open right now at 800-465-8770 for Leading Edge Medicine.
Okay. This the name of the study is Long-Term Follow-Up of Transsexual Persons Undergoing Sex Reassignment Surgery, Cohort Study in Sweden. That's the name of it. So if you put in Long-Term Follow-Up of Transsexual Persons Undergoing Sex Reassignment Surgery, the study ought to pop up. Okay. interesting, the abstract says the objective of the study was to estimate mortality, morbidity, and criminal rate after surgical sex reassignment of transsexual persons. And so it's a population-based study. It was done between 1973 and 2003. It followed every single person. There's 324 sex reassigned persons. That's 191 male to female, 133 female to males in Sweden during that 30-year period. And then with age and controls, population controls were matched by birth year, sex, birth sex, and reassigned sex. These were people that were reassigned but did not undergo surgery, so they had other interventions. And what they found was that the people that had the surgery had suicide rate that was 19.1 times higher than the general population.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Now, people who didn't get the surgery, it's 4.8 times, so just under 5 times the general population. But if they got the surgery, suicide rate was 19.1 times that of the general population. Sex reassigned people also had an increased risk for suicide attempts. That was 4.9 times those that did not get the surgery. Okay. Psychiatric inpatient care. People admitted to the hospital for other psychiatric conditions, such as schizophrenic breaks, that sort of thing, where, you know, they just basically went crazy, was 2.8 times that of people who didn't get the surgery. And interestingly, female to male, but not male to female, had a higher risk for criminal convictions than their respective birth sex controls. Hmm. So what it's basically saying is having surgery as part of your sex reassignment does not fix all your underlying psychiatric problems. These are people with serious psychiatric illnesses. And you don't fix a psychiatric illness by chopping off body parts. Mm. It doesn't do the job, you know, nor does pounding them with cross-sex hormones. The fact is that if you're going to try to treat people with a serious psychiatric illness, you need to do psychiatry, not surgery, okay, not pharmacology. These are not healthy people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sex reassignment surgery doesn't fix it.
Okay. And that's what this study is talking about. If you're needing that information again, doctor, can you give that to us? The name of that, it was long-term follow-up.
Long-term follow-up of transsexual persons undergoing sex reassignment surgery, a cohort study in Sweden.
All right. Very good. Thank you for that. We are going to take a break right now. We will be back with hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. I'm going to give you the phone number to call and get your questions for Dr. Umat and Dr. Mixon. It's 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. We'll be right back.